Well, my heart has been blessed today and certainly tonight with this worship time and your hearty singing to the Lord's praise tonight. And I thank you for that, and may the Lord be honored, as I believe He has been, as we lift our voices in praise, in our worship, in giving thanks to Him for His great mercy to us. Thank you again for the invitation to come and to be able to share the Word of God with you folks today. Of course, our connection and relationship with Toronto and Greenville go back many, many years. And I bring you heartfelt and warm greetings from Dr. and Mrs. McClelland. And some of you have been asking me to give them special greetings, and I will do that faithfully. I will tell them that you are asking for their well-being. I want to thank the gardeners for their hospitality today. I was able to have lunch with them, and we enjoyed fellowship, and it was good. And so I appreciate that very much for your kindness. Looking forward to tomorrow morning. Dr. Allison will be giving me a ride from here down to Alabama, and looking forward to that time of fellowship with him. And I know you have been praying, and let me encourage you to continue on for all of the ministers and elders, most who travel down to Alabama on a Monday, as they have to get past their own Lord's Day responsibilities. So remember them as they travel, each one of us, and certainly that we be conscious of the Lord's help in our times of prayer and in the necessary business of our presbyteries. And so, again, from greetings from my own wife, Jill. I know she'd love to have been here today, but because of the responsibility she has with school and so on, and the Lord has really been blessing our ministry, and we thank God for that. And we also are thankful to the ones who have recently been saved. Some of our children, both in our Sunday school and the Good News Bible Club that we have on Friday night, is a children's group from 6 years old up to 13. And the Lord has been really blessing this last while, upwards of 70 children coming from the neighborhood every Friday night. And that is an encouragement. And some young ones have called on the Lord to save them. So we continue that in prayer, and I'll thank you for that. Now, one brother this afternoon, just before the service, was asking me if I got any rest this afternoon. And I said, yeah, I got about 10 minutes or so. And he said, oh, good, we should get about 10 minutes or so in the service tonight. So now, if you see any hymn books flying here in the direction of somebody who's nodding off, you'll know, and they'll be having to keep awake. My dad tells me a funny story of a minister that he heard about that had a dream that he was preaching, and he woke up and he was. So let's hope that's not the case tonight. I've had enough rest, and I won't be sleeping up here. I hope the Lord will give us much strength as we bring the word of the Lord to you. Thank you very much for your attention this morning. I greatly appreciate that. And as we come tonight to the word of God, it is a solemn message that I want to bring to you in the Lord's Word, and it's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, please turn with me and follow along as we read the Word of the Lord. We're going to pick up at verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to dwell, or to show rather, unto his disciples, how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. We know the Lord will bless his word to our hearts tonight. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Lord, our hearts are overflowing tonight with thanksgiving for the privilege of being in this place of prayer and praise. And now, Lord, as we come to the Word of God being opened in our hands, Lord, may it be written on our minds and hearts. Lord, we pray that we will be prepared to receive the Word, asking, Father, tonight that the distractions of life will not intrude upon this sacred hour. Praying, Father, that sometimes the silly distractions that can come right in the midst of a service, they will be removed tonight. Asking, Lord, that it might please Thee to come and be so present that each one of us will be conscious of the Savior sitting by us, standing here in the pulpit. That, Lord, we would know the speaking voice of the Holy Spirit to everyone. Lord, I need the power that is not of men, a power that cannot be manufactured, a power that only comes, that unction from heaven. And Lord, may there be hearing ears and understanding hearts. Father, what about those in the service tonight who may be without Christ in salvation? Lord, what about those who are listening online and for some strange reason they have tuned in tonight and they are listening to the Word of God? Well, we're asking, Lord, that unmistakably the Holy Spirit will come with conviction of sin and there will be conversions to the Lord Jesus. Father, we desire that this would be for the honor of the name of the Lord and not for individuals, not for self, not for church, but only for the glory of our great God and Savior. So hear our prayers now tonight and bless us. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Verse number 26, if I would draw your attention to, is my text for tonight. And it is a question that the Lord Jesus asked. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And I want to talk to you tonight simply on this subject, the value of a soul. The value of a soul. You will know from the first verse that I read to you from this portion of Scripture, the Lord is now unfolding increasing detail about His final weeks, months on earth. He is telling His disciples that He is going to be abused by those religious leaders of His day. He tells His disciples that He will be crucified and that He will rise again the third day. And of course, the response of Peter was one of a, well, we could sometimes say a knee-jerk reaction. Peter began to rebuke the Lord and say, "Let it not be so, it will not come to pass. We will stand up for you, Lord, and certainly I will be the one to stand up for you." Well, the Lord was very direct with Peter, could we say? He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God." What a stern rebuke came to God's servant. And you know, sometimes when we step out of the will of God in the things that we say or think, it may well be that the Lord needs to bring a very severe, a very direct word against us, because some of us may be guilty of doing the work of the devil when we think we're saying the work and the word of the Lord. We want to always be extremely careful about those things. But here the Lord moved on from rebuking Peter to move right into the idea of following him as a faithful servant, of a life given is going to be one that bears a cross and that takes up a cross every single day of Christian life. And if we are going to follow the Lord faithfully to fulfill His honor and to bring glory to God, then we are going to have a cross to bear. Let us not be surprised about that. Let us not think for a moment that it is a strange thing or an unusual thing for us to be burdened down with some issue. We look at the history of men and women of the Bible and those who went through Hebrews 11 and the chapter of faith, the itemized list of those who were faithful to the Lord. They had crosses to bear because they faithfully followed the Lord. But the Savior is also bringing it very close to the heart of those who were listening to Him at this time. And He's going to press home now to them who have their eyes perhaps on the kingdom that Christ, they thought, was going to establish on earth. As the disciples asked the Lord on more than one occasion, "Is the kingdom going to be fulfilled now?" In other words, are we going to be your generals and captains to overthrow the Roman occupation and become those who possess all now? Is the kingdom going to be established? No, they were way off track on that as well, in that sense. The Lord wanted to impress upon them, if you are going to be a follower of me, there's a cost. And friend, if you're going to be a follower of Christ and give your heart and life to Him and receive Him as your own Savior, there's something that you're going to put in the balance of that. And then Christ presents the teaching of this verse and talks about the value of a soul. It is stated that the Emperor Charlemagne, when he died, he had given instructions before he died that he would be buried in an upright position on his throne with a Bible open on his lap and his finger pointed to this particular verse. "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world?" I know that you have examples, as I could cite examples to you as well, of many, many people who have come down that line, who have considered the things that this world has to offer, and they would put those things in the balance between serving Christ or receiving Him. I've had at times occasion of speaking to students in our school and counseling them, especially if maybe their direction may not be quite good at this moment. And I sometimes put a pile of textbooks of science and biology and English and geography and all that stuff, put it all on the pile, and then beside it put the scripture. And I would say to them, you know, in life, some things are not equal. And when you consider the necessary disciplines of life that people must study and learn in order to at least succeed in some respect to pay their way through life, But friend, if those things get out of place in relation to the Word of God, then you're going to miss out. And when you take that by extension, because those books of the world and of disciplines only represent the aspirations of people of what they're going to accomplish in life, what they hope to obtain. And so that quest, that desire, that longing after what is going to make me successful or happy or full, compared to the Word of God and what that means in your relationship with Christ, friends, not all things are equal in this life. And that's why when the Lord asked this question and He pressed upon the people the value of a soul, how important it is for us to think about this today. I say to you in the first place that this is a searching question. It's a searching question. Why? Because it is an unknowable equation. You cannot properly put in the balance what a person could properly pay for their eternal soul. It is not something that can actually be weighed up. You ask someone, if you could today, Alexander the Great, the man who conquered through his empire all of the then known worlds. And it is told that he wept because there were no more kingdoms to conquer. Here is a man, a picture of a man who had everything this world had to offer as far as the political power and military power. And along with that would have gone the wealth of the world too. And he had it all. And it wasn't enough to fill his soul, his heart. He longed for something more than that. And he did not have, and he did not possess that which was so clearly and evidently spoken here in this present word. My friends, you all have heard of the great fighter Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali died not long ago. It was in June 2016 when he died. There was a funny account that was given as he was traveling on an airplane once, and the stewardess, as they were coming through some turbulence, said to him, "Mr. Ali, put your seatbelt on." And he said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." And she said, "Superman don't need no airplane. Put your seatbelt on." Sometimes, as he was not prone to be the most humble of characters, he always boasted he would float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. We know, if you had followed his career at all, that he suffered from a debilitating illness the last number of years of his life. And he was, from the flurry of his great success as a world boxing champion, what happened to him? His life became just a feeble mess near the end. And there was one sports reporter, and his name was Gary Smith. And Gary Smith got an interview with Ali before he had died. And he went to his place of residence, and there was a farm and the barn at the back of his residence, and Ali took this man out there to look around. And in the barn, there was strewn with all of the awards, presentations, the trophies, and all of these things were strewn around there. And this reporter gave this account. Ali told him, "I had the world, and it wasn't nothing. Look now." I had the world, and it wasn't nothing. Look now, he said at him, as a mess he could not stop from shaking. You see, friend, people that aspire to the greatness of what this world has to give by way of fame or sports or the wealth of empires, they may have and possess it all. But this is a searching question that comes to the soul of everyone. And friend, as I said this morning, so I say tonight, I do not know your heart. I do not know where anyone is really before God, but you know. And if you're listening online tonight, I encourage you as well to think about these things deeply in your soul, because whatever you may possess here and now, one moment after you die, where is all that? And what will it do for you, friend, one moment after you have gone? What about your career? What about your aspirations? What about your hopes for the future? What about all things that we can put our trust in, to put our comfort in, to have our safety nets behind us? See, all of these things, when Jesus asked this question, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I think it is the most searching question that there is even asked in all of the Scripture, because it deals with this very solemn point of the value of a soul. In light of all that, friend, none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus, it's found in Him. And friend, if you don't know Him tonight, I encourage you to trust in the Lord Jesus. Call upon Him as your Savior. And you will know that as He comes into your heart, He will exchange and take away all that there is want and emptiness and the void of true joy inside. And He will replace that with unspeakable joy. He'll replace that with a peace that passes all human understanding. This is the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what He has done and given to us. Not only is this a searching question tonight, it is, of course, a very solemn question. Why is it solemn? Well, quite simply, because it deals with a person's eternal soul. And those questions, they cannot be downplayed. There was a man that lived very close to our family cottage. His name was Schauschenberg. At 95 years of age, I met this man along the road, and the Lord opened a door of being able to talk with him. Over the years that my dad had known him and I had known him, he was always a mocker of the gospel and always just disdained anybody who had belief in the afterlife or God, anything to do with that. He would just discount it. It was just a joke. He would laugh at everything. But this day I was talking to him, and I said, Mr. Schauschenberg, have you given any thought of what you're going to do with your sin when you die? And he laughed and said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my sins with me to hell, he said. 95 years of age. Our conversation ended then. I had seen him a couple of times after that in the years following, the 5 years after. He died just this past winter, 3 months before his 100th birthday. As far as I know, that man never sought the Lord. 100 years of life on earth. My friend, this is a question that is so solemn because the soul that we possess is an eternal soul. When we go from this earth, it will not be to a point of annihilation. It will be to a point of either in heaven with the Lord forever or separated from Him in a lost eternity in hell. These are solemn truths and points that cannot just be brushed aside. It is a most important thing, friend, because it deals with the soul. And the soul has of great value to it. How can we begin to mount up? One person that has died and has gone beyond into the afterlife and is now suffering in a lost eternity, if you are able to speak to that person and say, what would you give, friend, to release yourself from this place? How much of this world's goods and fame and activity would you give? The picture that the Lord gave us of Abraham and Lazarus and the rich man, you will not get a clearer snapshot of what it was for a man in torments, in lost eternity, and he desired a drop of water to cool his tongue, to relieve him from these torments. Sometimes people are so sidetracked when it comes to the issues of life and the value of their soul, how great it is. You will know the accounts of the pirates that often went through the Caribbean. And sometimes the pirates would fight with other pirate ships and they would come under attack. And at this one occasion where a ship was attacked and the captain was killed and the ship was going down. And so one of the people that was on this pirate ship broke into the captain's place, and that's where all the gold was kept. And so this man went and he loaded his pockets with gold. He was going to make it for the rest of his life. And then what did he do? He jumped in the water, of course, to get off the ship that was going down. Do you know what happened to the man with a pocket full of gold? Right to the bottom. And he died. Because thinking that he's going to have a ticket now to life, and if I only could get this and have this satisfaction, then I would be happy. My dear friend, it is a very solemn question tonight because it deals with the very soul and the value of a soul, and it cannot be undermined. It deals with eternity. And eternity in the short 70 years that you and I have on this earth compared to the time of eternity. Can we even talk like that? Ah, my dear friend, think tonight, eternity. It's a solemn question because, believer, it affects you and me as well. It affects you and me because what about the souls that are around us that are heading to a lost eternity? How many times have I missed the opportunity that I should have taken to express my faith and to press the gospel home to someone who needed to hear the word? And I have not done that. Oh, yes, and we could argue back and forth about the sovereignty of God and man's responsibility. But let's get right down to where it comes into our day-to-day life and living. You and I do not know who the elect are. We do not know who God will choose to save. But what He has commanded us as His people, go and share my word. Sow the gospel. Preach my kingdom. And we leave the results with the Lord. Let us never use that as an excuse why we don't need to witness, or we don't need to do outreach, we don't need to share the word. I need to do this. And I'm rebuked in my own heart when I have missed those opportunities. And I pray the Lord would have mercy and that He would not hold that against. I wonder what man would ever say, I have paid a fair price for my soul. No, friend. No one would ever be able to say that. Yes, it's a searching question for us, and it's a very solemn question. But I'm thankful that in this verse, it is a saving question. And how so? Because as the Lord is now talking about the end of the road on earth for Him, He's talking about the cross. He is speaking about going to Jerusalem, and there He is going to be abused and rejected by the Pharisees and scribes, and He is going to be crucified. And the Lord, we know, came to earth on this mission, the mission of giving Himself in the place of sinful men and women like this congregation tonight, like this preacher right here. And so when we think about the value of the soul, you can go no farther than to look at the cross, because that's the value that God has placed upon the soul, that His only begotten Son would go to die for sinners unworthy as we are. He loves us, friends, with an everlasting love. And how then can we look so casually, so disdainfully, sometimes in our arrogance, sometimes in our religious trappings, let us be careful, my friends, that we see as the Lord Jesus sees. And we know the value of the soul and the saving value that God Himself has placed upon it. And I say to you tonight that as Christ went to the cross, and there as He suffered and bled and died in my place, I should have been the one on that cross. I should have borne the wrath of God for my own sin. But Christ stepped as my substitute in my place. And as He stepped into my place, friend, then I was allowed to go free. And tonight, you and I who know Him as our Savior and Lord, we rejoice because this very question, we will never have to answer it as far as giving anything for the value of our soul, because our Savior has already paid that price. He has given that perfect, full, complete atonement. And there is not 1% that I have to add to it. And if there was any that I would have to add, I would never, ever make it into the kingdom of the Lord. This very question is such a vital one, friend, because it is dealing on these very crucial issues. I wonder tonight, friend, as you hear this word, is there a soul that maybe God is placing upon your heart as a burden? Someone to pray for? Some relative that needs to be witnessed to? Someone that you have neglected to talk to about the gospel? Maybe there's a neighbor, a friend that you've had associations with, but you keep putting it off and putting it off. Ah, may the Lord impress upon our hearts the urgency of the matter, for we do not know what a day will bring forth. I know that you've heard in the news of what happened just over a week ago in Toronto when some madman driving in a van down Yonge Street, crossing Finch Avenue, began just to mow down people. And he ran them over with his van, and he killed 10 people immediately, and 2 more have died since then from their injuries. And you wonder, those people walking out on a day's activity, thinking nothing about life and death other than going about their daily business, and in a moment their life is snuffed out, gone. We do not know, friend, what a day will bring to any one of us. And the Lord calls us to be about the Master's business. And I'm not saying this to you tonight because I've got it all in order. And my life's all going in the right direction. I'm doing everything the way I believe God would have me to do and all the witnessing that I need to be doing. No, I preach this to myself. And I say to you tonight, let us all pray for ourselves and to pray for one another. That the Lord would fire our souls and place a burden within us of those who are on the road to eternity, to a lost eternity. And say, Lord, teach me, oh, teach me the value of a soul. I pray that tonight, friend, the Lord would touch your heart. The Lord would draw you to Himself. And friend, if you are tonight without the Savior, maybe there's a young person here and you've heard the gospel before, but the Lord is touching your soul just now and He's calling you to Himself. Now is the night, because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of grace. Today is the day of openness. And I pray that you will call upon Him, and believer, that we will come to the point of rededicating our lives and giving ourselves afresh into the hands of the Lord and say, here, my Lord, send me. Here, my Lord, use me in some way. I don't want to just be a doorpost. I don't want to just warm a pew. I want to be engaged in your work. I want to serve you with what time I have left because of the great value there is in every soul. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Loving Father, we bring this service to a close tonight. I'm asking that the Word of God would be burned into our souls.
Dear God, help us, we pray, because the hour is late and the business is urgent and the need is great. Lord, I pray that each one of us in all of our churches would know a breath of heaven's reviving. We would know the awakening of the Spirit of God moving in salvation. We're praying, Lord, to work in our Sunday schools. We're asking to work in our youth fellowships, in the Bible clubs that we have, the work among the children, the boys and girls, in our day schools. Dear God, use us, we pray. We think of the upcoming vacation Bible school planned here in this congregation. And Lord, there are so many opportunities. Let us not look at them in a mechanical sense, but rather we will see and have the burden of soul and heart to see people won for the kingdom of God. And then, Lord, to have the joy of seeing them discipled and built up in their most holy faith. What a blessing it will be as we continue on in our service for the Master. So, Lord, hear our prayers now tonight. Separate us in Thy fear and with Thy rich blessing. We ask all this in Jesus' worthy name. Amen.